everybody. Welcome to this week's Power Up. Thank you all so very much for being here. This is an extra special week that Maude and I have prepared for you.
Yes, absolutely. We've got a guest on today's show. Trisha and I have had the pleasure of working with him throughout these years. But it's also an amazing time to have him as a guest because of my last episode's watching that I had, which was rewatching all of Avatar The Last Bender in 2.5 days, which was an achievement. And I went into battle for Rotten Tomatoes about all the characters. So this is going to be a really interesting conversation, and I'm going to try and not fangirl. But I would love to welcome today's guest, Dante Basco. You guys know him as a Twitch streamer, director. He's done a bunch of other things, but he's also the voice of Zuko from The Last Airbender and Rufio from Hook, which is a childhood trove of amazing moviness. Dante, thank you so much for joining us on Power Up.
Thank you guys for having me. I miss you girls. What's going on? It's like, it's Girl Geeks Unite up in here. I didn't even know you guys knew each other.
Dude, it has been so long. So Dante and I first met each other at a like convention that was in its very baby first or second year.
It was a video game situation, wasn't it?
I think you were emceeing the cosplay contest, and I was brought there as a convention guest to like sign and sell posters at a booth. And we were put up at the same hotel and didn't know each other, but the convention was still like figuring itself out. So there wasn't a ton to do. Right. So we just hung out the whole weekend.
Exactly. I do remember that. I remember we ate pizza. Mm-hmm. Were we in DC? Was it DC?
Yes, it was Washington, DC. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We ate pizza and we went out.
There was a big Hearthstone thing going on there. So these big Hearthstone guys were trying to teach me Hearthstone, which I did Hearthstone. That's when I first started playing it.
Pokemon.
It was a Pokemon championship.
There was a Pokemon championship. There was a Hearthstone thing. And we found some bar or nightclub or something. And that's when you were vlogging every day on your YouTube channel. So you like vlogged the whole thing.
Like I said, I haven't vlogged in a while. I suck at vlogging. I like watching other people's vlogs. I just have no time to edit.
Stuff. Oh yeah, that's a nightmare. Because you got all these great ideas. And you got to put your recording in public, and everyone's like, oh. And you're like,
I hate it. I like it when it's done. When it's done, I like it. Doing it is not my favorite thing to do.
I hear.
And then when did you and Maude meet?
There's another DC thing. But DC Comics.
It was a DC comic thing. All I remember was Maude was sick and sneezing and stuff. And I was like, are you contagious? Like, what's going on?
I was like, you're going to die, and I'm the reason. Right. I'm the harbinger of death.
She knows the Aussies. I threw some Aussie names at her, and she knew all the Aussies.
Yeah, and I can't say that because I'm like, there's millions of people in this country. There's no way I know. Yes, I know all of them. Yep.
I know them. I know them. Yeah. Like the little Aussie gang.
Yeah, we do. We stick together. And what else? We did a Star Wars thing. I got a photo with BB-8. It was a movie marathon as well.
Exactly.
That's so cool.
They were opening, The Last Jedi, right? It was The Last Jedi, I think
so. Yeah.
Yeah, I was so excited to watch that. It was at the El Capitan Theater.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And now we do nothing. Now there's no events to go to. There's absolutely nothing.
This is pretty good nothing that's happening right now.
This is a great event. The great thing we can catch up through friends and folk through online stuff and hang out and not be so distracted by the open bar.
I'm actually not sick. And even if I did sneeze, you're fine now. Hey.
You're not sick. I know.
Hey-o. Well, Dante, thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule to hang out with us today. Because you've been up to like a million things. Your quarantine has not slowed you down.
No, my quarantine has not slowed me down. I've been, I directed a film called The Fabulous Filipino Brothers. And so I've been doing post-production on that through the whole COVID on remote with my editor and my sound department. And which is not the best way to do stuff, but the way we had to do it was really cool and fun. Mm-hmm. And then, I signed on to do this Twitch show called Artificial on Thursday night, which was like this. I think it's the first scripted, scripted thing on drama on Twitch. But Bernie Sue did it, and they won an Emmy last year. So I think we're in line to be, nominated or something this year. We'll see what happens.
Bernie is so good. I swear, everything he touches turns to Emmy nominations.
I know. This guy, he won 2 Emmys for YouTube, 1 Emmy for Twitch. He's such an innovative mind, and he reached out to me. We've been pals for a while, so he's like, "Hey, you doing anything during COVID?" I'm like, "No, not really. What you got?" And so we've been shooting this whole drama from our home. This is my setup. You know, I'm kind of like in this crazy. I'm like this tech billionaire fighting with another tech billionaire over this artificial intelligence robot. It's pretty fun. It's interesting. It's like theater. We're doing like 2 hours live every week, and it's, and I'm here doing things, got scripts going on, and the audience, because Twitch is live stream, the people that have seen the show, the audience are helping to guide the story as we go along, so, which is cool, except for actors, we have to learn twice as many lines, because this scene's going to go this way, or this scene's going to go this way, you know?
So do you learn all the lines, or are the scripts there in front of you, or both?
They're both. We get them, like, earlier in the week, and we get to study them, of course, as everything goes, things change, and then and then the scenes change. You're like, and then of course it's live stream. So all you gamers out there knows what happens. Frame rates drop, you know, your ping is super high. Someone drops out and you're just like struggling. Like, oh no, now this. And we answer questions from fans throughout the show and people watching. And we know we engage. So it's a fascinating, innovative project for sure.
Yeah, so I was introduced to it in the first season because my friend was a producer on it, and she was just like, we're doing something that we're using a platform that has so far only been used in particular ways, whether it's like sort of gaming or just like one-on-one interaction, but to actually put on a scripted narrative show where the audience has a choice in where the actual, you know, show goes. I think that, that's really incredible. But I was there when they were shooting it in a house. Yeah. But I think it's really great that they're able to adapt. Like, everyone's just had to adapt. Totally. And it's a really amazing thing that we're all able to kind of like just keep doing what we can from home, even though it's, I'm a bit sick of home, guys.
I'm a little bit sick of home too. How long has it been now? 3 months?
More.
Whatever it's been, more than 4 months. Is this the longest I've been home in 3 years? Like, that, I can't believe I've been home so long. I didn't know anything in my house. I've never used my kitchen. I've been here for 10 years, and I've never cooked anything on my stove before the COVID. And my refrigerator, if you watch my stories on IG, like, my refrigerator was just like, first month of COVID, it was like my refrigerator was like just drinks and like mustard and ketchup, you know, like, I'm going to die. But now I fully cook every day, twice a day. Been wild. I've been going through the closets, taking things off the walls, redecorating. I've been getting intimate with my home. Kind of itchy and feeling antsy though. Last night I was like, I can't believe I can't go anywhere. I can't go anywhere. You can't get on a plane. You can't go anywhere.
Yeah.
I think my assistant told me, like, the last 2 years I was out of town, like 6 months out of the year for the last 2 years. Like, literally, I had not been in town.
Whoa. You're out of town all the time, dude. Every time I look at your Instagram, it's like, look at this awesome country I'm in now.
Yeah. I mean, we're doing cons and then doing my producing, and I've been doing a lot of stuff within the Asian scene. Been back and forth to Asia, producing a bunch of projects and developing a lot of projects. So
that's cool.
Yeah, it's cool. But
it's a lot of traveling.
I miss traveling a little bit. When you were traveling,
I have that as well, where it's like every time I was back at an airport, I'm like, oh my God, I'm here again. And that motion, the cyclical motion of all of that, where it was just like, oh, and then checking into a new hotel and then being like, oh, I guess I'm back here again. But so it's like when I was doing that, I was like, oh, it'd be nice to just be able to stay at home for a while. And now that I'm at home for a while, I'm like, I just miss being on a plane.
Totally. Just a little bit. Although I don't know, I haven't been on a plane. I actually landed in LA the day they locked down LA.
Oh.
From Asia.
Oh, yeah.
I was coming back. I was closing some stuff up in Manila, and I had a meeting in Vietnam, in Hanoi, and then I was in Jakarta, Indonesia. Yeah. And then I flew back. We had to change our plans because we heard Trump was closing borders, and we're like, oh no, we have to change all our plans like last minute, and flew back home, and I haven't been on a plane since. I don't know. I feel like none of us are going to be on a plane ever again for the rest of our lives without a mask.
We have a new normal. Yeah.
The new normal for planes is going to, like, when TSA hit after 9/11, like, now we have TSA forever.
Yeah.
I think the mask thing is forever on planes. Forever.
Yeah, maybe.
Before this, how many people got sick almost every time they fly anyway with something or other?
Like, if it was over a 10-hour flight, guaranteed I got sick.
Right.
Yeah. I never really got sick, but I just sleep. But now I'm going to sleep with a mask on.
Yeah. That's fair. You've also been streaming a lot more, which is really cool. I want to chat about some of the things you're doing because you're diving into movies. You're doing a rewatch of Avatar as well, which must be such a trip for a lot of people who are big fans.
Yeah. I've been streaming. Yeah. I mean, again, we're in COVID, so we're just trying to, you know, as creative folks like you guys, we're just trying to stay creative and figure out what we're doing and see how we can kind of like turn that into some kind of thing we can engage and hang out and kind of take what we're doing and put it out there. So, first and foremost, Avatar came back on Netflix and became like the number one show on Netflix, which kind of blew me and the whole cast and all the friends away. Like, how did that happen? Like, no one saw that coming. And so we decided, my stream team, Honor Society, here on Twitch, decided to start watching the show. So we watch every Friday. After this show, we're going to be watching it. We're just starting book two today. And what happens, I basically bring back cast members and crew members, and we kind of just watch it with fans and friends and tell stories and basically drink. We have drinking games. We basically, it's like a Friday afternoon drink. By the end of it, they're like, Tante's just drunk up in here on White Claws.
No, I'm not. Oh my God, I've got White Claws right now if you want to get started.
Yeah. And so we're basically like watch the shows and kind of remember what's going on, if we remember anything about the shows or tell stories behind it. But we've had, you know, of course, Jack Descendo played Sokka, joins us like almost regularly. Michaela Murphy, who played Jesse, aka Jesse Flowers, who played Tops with us all the time. Olivia Hack, who played Ty Leeds with us all the time. Giancarlo Volpe, who's like the director, come join us. Phil Lamar's come. You know, so many other voice actors have come hang out on the show. Greg Baldwin plays Mako. Who plays Mako, Uncle Iroh has joined us several times. And we'll see who else we get throughout the seasons, you know. It's just a fun time to hang out. And then on Instagram Live on Mondays, I started a movie club with a friend of mine, Alice Rematula, because we've been watching so many movies during this quarantine as actors and filmmakers and directors. We're both producers and directors and actors. And we're like, let's just talk to people about it. And so every week we just kind of tell people what movie we're watching, and we go on for an hour and talk about it, bring people into the live chat on IG Live, and it's kind of like people looking at us like, oh, I watched the movie. Like, what? It feels like all of a sudden like we're movie professors, even though we don't have all the answers or anything. We're like, what did you guys think of the movie? But we've watched so many great things, from West Side Story to A Place in the Sun to
Amelie.
Dirty Dancing. Amelie last week. We're talking about Princess Bride this Monday, which is cool.
That's my favorite movie of all time.
What? You had to come on the IG Live and drop some knowledge. Oh.
Wait, where did you get that?
Wesley.
Yeah.
Drop some knowledge on some Princess Bride for us on Monday. Come join us.
So, I've got the Fire Swamp dress in my wardrobe.
I was just going to say, Maude, how have I not seen you do a Buttercup cosplay?
Oh, I absolutely have. But it was a couple of years ago.
You have great Buttercup.
Thank you. Thank you, my sweet Wesley. But I went to Ren Faire dressed as it, and everyone was like, oh, Cersei, nice. And I'm like, no, I'm
not Cersei. The opposite of Cersei, the dire opposite of Cersei.
I needed a Dread Pirate Roberts with me, with like a rodent of unusual size or something. But yeah.
Well, anyway. Girl, if it's not already on your Instagram, put that Buttercup cosplay all over.
I want to see it too now. You need to show up at my Instagram Live in the Buttercup cosplay to talk about
and you'll be like,
some little trivia facts about the movie.
Actually, it's such a great film. I'm not Robin Wright, but I could be Robin Wrong for you.
Oh.
If that works. get it. Okay, that's fine.
Well, I donated my personal ROUS plushie to the SourceFed Nerd set, and it lived on in my absence on the SourceFed Nerd set. We had one.
It actually was featured in one of the seasons of SourceFed D&D as well.
Yes.
Yeah. No, I gave that thing legs. Yeah. Awesome. Rodent of Unusual Things. I don't believe they exist. Yeah, good time with that one. Where can people follow your Twitch? And we're obviously going to send everyone afterwards to your stream too. But where can people follow?
At Honor Society. Twitch.tv/Honor Society. for all the Avatar heads. For everyone wants that honor. Searching for your honor.
I know we're going to be talking about Avatar a little bit later, but I wanted to, I don't know if I shared this to you when we first met or if I actually kept it to myself like a professional, but in Australia, my first hosting job back when I was 20, 21, 22, 23, I hosted Nickelodeon and I did an afternoon. Yeah. And so, you know, like those afternoon or morning programs where they like would play a bunch of different cartoons and then the hosts would be like the links between the shows. I was that for the kids of Australia. And I had to watch a lot of SpongeBob, but they were like, we need you to like a program. We need you to really get into a show. And for me, when I started watching Avatar, I was like, you don't have to convince me to like something. This is the best shit I've ever seen in my life. I am so obsessed with it. And I remember it was like season one. I was just like, Prince Zuko's got the best voice. I was like, I have to know. So I Googled it. And when I found out it was you, I had the most like insane reaction response, like running around the living room going, my mind is blown. I can't believe it. It was like the Acer and Shira part where it was like, Zuko is Rufio. Rufio is Zuko. And then I also went to like call someone because I had to share it. And I was like, I'm in a really unique position.
Is this before Twitter? What's going on? Is this before Twitter?
It is before Twitter. This was back in 2007 and 2008. And I was like, I'm in that sweet spot where it's like I'm an adult watching a program that's technically supposed to be sort of like for kids, even though I'll argue that point. But I also am at the same age where I was in the cinemas watching Hook and had like it's had such a profound impact on me then. So it was a combination of like those two things where I was just like, I feel like I'm sort of unique in this particular moment, but it was mind blowing for me. And that was that was 13 years ago.
You did not tell me that. No. That's cool. I mean, I've gotten that reaction from a few people that are right in your same age group that kind of make that idea. And it still happens today where people post things like on TikTok or whatnot when they find out. But it does make sense if you think about it. When you look at the characters, you're like, oh, but yeah, they are. Same kind of redemption kind of arc thing. Bad boys turn good. I think that's been my like casting. Growing up,
That's awesome. Dante, we are going to jump into asking you what video games you're playing and what shows you're watching and everything that you're reading in just a moment. But we are so excited to have you here on this week's Power Up. Chat is going crazy with so much love for you. So you are the perfect guest to have this week. So again, I know people can follow you twitch.tv/honor society. Where can they find your podcast? Where can they find the other stuff that you're doing?
Well, we work on the podcast. It's not out yet. We're still shopping that. But you can just follow me on Instagram for all the stuff at Dante Bosco. My TikTok. I'm new to TikTok, Rufio Zuko. Someone already took my name on TikTok. I couldn't get my own name.
Oh, what? Rude.
What? But at Rufio Zuko is cool.
Well, you've got quite a unique name as well. It's like I never have that issue because like there's only one other Maud Garrett on social media in the world. And I feel I have to personally apologize for her because I've basically taken her handle on everything. But that's shitty. Can you just hit them up and be like, hey, can I have it back? Or are they going to be like, that'll be $5,000.
I think I have to talk to them. I just started on TikTok, so I'm sure I'll talk to some of the TikTok folks. And like,
well, you get a new follower over here.
Hey, I'm still working out TikTok. It's still so much easier to just post a picture as opposed to like trying to figure out a whole witty video you have to do.
But yeah, if people want to follow you on TikTok, they can do that. And I promise one day when I finally download TikTok, if that ever becomes a thing in my life, I will follow you, Dante.
Oh, thank you so much. And also I wrote a book. So people can go to Amazon or whatnot and check out my book, From Rufio to Zuko, which is a memoir of my life. We dropped in November and I toured with Barnes & Noble for a few months. And then I was supposed to do the rest of the tour, but then COVID hit. But when it's done, I'm toying with the idea of just driving across the country and hitting the smaller like mom and pop stores and comic book stores. And just, I've never driven across the country anyway, and I kind of want to do it. So I might as well do it. Kind of want to work this whole From Rufio Zuko tour out. There's some spots that want me to go to do some pop-ups in New York. So
that's really cool.
Between then and then, I'll just go around the country and just see where fans want me to go and kind of hang out with y'all in your hometown.
Is there a little nugget from that book that you can share with us now to get people excited and to purchase it?
Basically, you know, the whole thing it wasn't my idea. The publishing house came to me and they're like, we want you to write a book. And I'm like, you know, of course, like, oh, what? I'm like, I'm too young to write a book like about my life. What do you want? And they're like, well, they said basically they pitched the story to me. They go, we want a story, a Hollywood story from an Asian American perspective, and you're the kid that we all grew up with, so we want your story. And so I was like, yeah, great. And so I started writing, and I was like, I don't know what to write. And then the thing that hooked me in was like, what do I want to tell to the next generation of actors coming to Hollywood? Because me and my family came into Hollywood not knowing anyone, and went through a lot of ups and downs and bumps and roads, and great things happened and horrible things happened. And just wanted to give something for the next generation of artists coming to town to like, look at, read at, you know, you're gonna make mistakes, don't make these mistakes. But especially for Asian American artists and people of color, you know, there's a certain point of view I have that I put into the book. So check it out. It's called From Rufio to Zuko. It's a memoir book. And, you know, and like we were talking about earlier about traveling, it all starts of me, like in the Denver airport, going, I'm here again. And I was going through a breakup at the time. So it's kind of like, it's a breaking up of an engagement, and stuck at an airport kind of leans me into like reflecting on my life.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. Yeah. Good on you, man. You're an author as well. That's fantastic.
One book, Maud. One book.
Still, one book that probably sells more copies than 95% of authors out there. So, well done, sir. Well done, sir. Well, Dante, we will have you back on in just a bit to talk about video games and all the different things that you're playing. So, hang tight. Thank you so much for being here this week. And, yeah, we'll see you in just a second. So, that is the interview portion of this week's Guest Power Up, and we will be back with more of Dante in just a moment to find out all things playing. All right. Thank you, everybody who's here on Twitch. As always, we have our Twitch notifications turned off during the recordings of Power Up. So at this point, I want to say a huge thank you to Foo2099 for the resub for 53 months, which is insane. Thank you. I appreciate you. Welcome to the new followers who are here today. And Nephilim1333, thank you for the resub and welcome back. Just Your Average Dad, thank you so much for the resub, and hey, right back at ya. And yeah, we're going to move on with the playing portion of the show in just a moment. But at this moment, Maud would love to tell you about the after show.
Yeah, we got a show called Power Down. It's what we do after Power Up, because what goes up must come down, and that's what we like to do. The show is where we kind of just talk about things that aren't necessarily playing, watching, or reading. We talk about life stuff. Little gold nuggets like the fact that I have a giant ulcer in my mouth because I accidentally bit the same spot 3 times. Now I keep biting it, and it's actually hurting to talk.
Wait,
so,
dude, that happens to you too?
Oh, man.
Every time I bite my cheek or my tongue, it turns into a thing that, like, impairs my speech for days.
That's where I'm at.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah. That's okay. It's fine. But yeah, we'll obviously talk about like some real cool shit, but it's definitely a $10 and higher thing that you guys get to sign up on Patreon for, and that is a perk dedicated for that. And also, if you're on Patreon, questions are prioritized on Patreon too. So yay.
Yay. Yeah, we'll be getting to your questions for Dante in the Bombs Away segment in each of the playing, watching, and reading. So get your questions for Dante ready. Okay. Maud, want to take us into playing?
Sure thing. Hey there, it is time for the playing portion of this week's Power Up, and I'm excited to have our guests share about what they are playing at the moment, video game-wise, streaming, all that fun stuff. We've got Dante Basco on here as our wonderful guest, and it's time to hand it straight over to you. What are you currently playing?
I'm a gamer, but I really play one game religiously, and that's League of Legends. League of Legends. I'm a big MOBA player. This game I've been playing for the last 2 years. You know, it all started, I hadn't played games in so many years, and then one of my producing partners, Brett Claywell, we wanted to go in, we had a meeting to pitch some ideas to Riot Games. But you have to understand, before you go into Riot Games and pitch them any ideas about their game, you have to really know their game. So basically, we had to get it to rank level before we went in and pitched them some ideas, which is crazy.
You just crammed gaming.
Yeah, but then I kind of fell in love with it during it, and so, I mean, I've been playing, I mean, I've been having a horrible time in ranked, but now I'm in bronze. I stream on Wednesdays and other in late nights when I'm playing, it's a show we call it, hashtag Road to Gold, maybe silver, and it's just me and one of my stream partners, Justin Maraconda, we're just trying to get to gold. We haven't gotten there in like 3 seasons. We're just kind of hustling to get the gold. And then on Wednesdays, we play with like 5v5s and custom games with all the fans watching, or some we play flex rank. And but lately I've also been playing TFT, their Teamfight Tactics, which is cool. They're auto chess, which I'm into. You guys ever play League of Legends?
I have so many questions for TFT because I recently started. So I've played League of Legends before. I'm not good at it. And I didn't at the time have like the hundreds of thousands of hours to sink into it to get good at it. And I know that LOL is not a game that you take lightly.
I love it.
Yeah, it's not a game you take lightly, though. Like, it's probably going to be, correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like League of Legends will probably be mostly miserable for at least the first 50 hours.
Yeah, I'm probably 500 hours in right now.
Right? Yeah, well, that's what you have to do. I mean, it's games like Dota and League of Legends, like any high-end competitive MOBA like that, you need to sink hundreds of hours into.
You need to.
You need
friends to. Friends are like, ask me, like, you know, because I started gaming again and started playing this game again, and I'm trying to get my friends into it, right, that are, well, like, out of the, kind of like, we kind of got, you know, you play a lot of games, and then you kind of grow up, and you're like, I can't play video games anymore. You put your console away, and then you just don't play games for, like, 10 years. And then getting you back into it.
I was at that fork in the road, and I realized that the choice needed to be made, and I didn't
ever. You kept the console.
I did. I didn't, never stopped.
Are you a PlayStation person, Xbox person?
Nintendo? Grew up with Nintendo and was very much a loyalist for the 64, but then moved into Xbox and always have had the Nintendo product, but then started PlayStation from 3. But now I have all of them all the time. I actually gave up PC gaming to do.
What?
Yeah.
I did pick up, I have my PlayStation still, but I don't use it that much. But I really fell in love with the Switch. Like, the Switch came back and I travel so much. So it's like the Switch is like, especially those international flights, the Switch is.
What are you playing on that? Mm-hmm.
I was playing Zelda for a long time, and then I play I play all Nintendo games because it's just fun for me. Of course, I play Super Smash. What else? I don't know. Everyone wants me to play Animal Crossing, but I can't. I can't do it yet.
Not enough happens on it. I've had to put it to bed.
I'm not big on open world game because I'm always like, what am I doing? I was like running around when the latest Zelda came out, and I'm like streaming it. And I'm like, I need help, you guys, because I don't know what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. Played a little Fortnite. I played the Fortnite Championships, and I had to like study up on that to play in order to play at least decently well.
Yeah.
Still, I'm not a great FPS player. I kind of like MOBA.
It's FPS with a bit of Minecraft. Like, you've got to do builds in that as well.
Yeah,
like
it's survival crafting plus a shooter.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I got to hang out because, you know, the championships last year were in New York, and we played in Queens where they played the U.S. Open, right?
Oh, wow.
That's where we played, and it was basically the 0.001% of players in the world, and there's like a category where it's just like a duo where they did like a celebrity and then a pro-ish player. I was teamed up with Tim the Tat Man, who's like a big streamer, and they're pros on just like the streaming side, but then they're so good. They're all so good that we're there like, what am I doing? I can't even, like, don't worry about building. I'm like, they're building so fast. It got to the place where, you know, it's Hunger Games and they're like running around the circle, but with a circle got where only one person could stand in it, and it's moving, and the last two guys are building up and down on each other. I was like, this is the most insane thing I ever saw. And then I'd be, you know, we're all staying in the same hotel in Times Square, and you'd see all these kids from around the world with their parents in the elevators and stuff. And I would talk to the kids in the elevator, like, hey man, where are you from? London. I'm like, so you're like the best player in London, huh? He's like 14. I don't know, am I? I mean, you're here. Like, you've got to be. It's like, how long you been training? His mom's like, yeah, I took him out of school 2 weeks ago to train. Because they're playing for millions of dollars.
I mean,
that's the thing. Like Dota really made prize pools just insane. And I remember reporting on a story like 7 years ago, trying to convince mainstream Australia that gamers aren't basement kids, you know, that kind of stuff. And I was like, the Dota prize pool is more than first place at the Tennis Open right now. And they were like, oh. And I was like, like, it's serious money.
It's nuts.
Big. It's crazy.
I had a similar situation to you, Dante, that you had for the Fortnite thing, where I was asked to like study up on and pair up with a pro and all that kind of stuff. But it was for Dota, which again, I was like, this is not a game you cram in 2 weeks. Like, just like League of Legends. Like, this is a game you need to, like, get good at. So I did. I paired up with Rotterdam, who's a pro StarCraft player, but he's still pretty good when it comes to MOBAs. And we paired up and we made the thing happen and it was hilarious. But before we wrap this segment of the show, I wanted to ask you, because I have been trying to get into Teamfight Tactics, and you mentioned that you play League of Legends, but also TFT.
Yeah.
I've been trying to get into it on my phone, and I don't know that that's the best place to learn, because sometimes, like, especially when the heroes are going around and you have to pick one, I can't tell which hero's which. I don't really know which items combine yet. I'm just trying to, like, collect a bunch of the same dude. Is it easier?
On that part of the game, usually you're not going to get the champ you want anyway. Go for the item. Go for the power, like the strong item, with a sword, you know, something with a lot of damage. It depends on what you need. It takes a little bit of time. And then, you know, it's just the synergies. It's kind of like, it's also a luck of the role that you get. That what it's all about a game of adaptability.
Yeah.
So you got to adapt to what you get. What's a crazy trivia thing? So Jack DeSena, who plays Sokka, he recently got in Teamfight Tactics, right?
Okay.
And he has been playing because he's grown up, but then also he, you know, he has a kid now. And he's like, but I'm going to get in Teamfight Tactics. So he started playing. This dude is diamond. Diamond.
No.
Sokka is diamond on Teamfight Tactics. I'm like, you're killing me. I haven't sniffed diamond on any game.
No.
Ever.
But what would you rather? And I want to ask the chat this as well. Would you rather play a little bit of a lot of games, or play a lot of a little amount of games and be like the best at it, but you have to put in, like, you know, your 1,000+ hours? How would you rather distribute your time?
Yeah, that's interesting. It depends. I don't know. For me, it depends on just your personality and what you're like. When friends of mine that come and ask me, like, why are you playing League of Legends? Like, what is League of Legends, right? And I tell my buddies that this is my pitch to them to, like, play the game. I go, this is League of Legends. It's Dungeons and Dragons meets basketball. Every game is like a 5v5 basketball game pickup, like in the park. But instead of being just a basketball player, you know, there's different character roles, like the point guards and the center and the shooting guard. But it's like a range players, you know, support, tank. You got to figure out what you want to play. And then we go in and we play. And it's just like we're at the park playing basketball against everyone in the country or the world or North America, whatever server we're on. And so we want to get a squad that's so gangster that we can go into any park and smash anybody. But you know, they're like, it's not a sport. I'm like, it is a sport. You'll know it's a sport once you start playing and someone starts outplaying you. You're like, oh, because we all start at the same exact place. There's nothing like, just because he's been playing for 5 years, he's like has all these other abilities when we start the game. When we start the game, we're all at the same place. And it's just how you build and how you can outmaneuver, outplay each other. And they look at me like, wow, what?
Do you play D&D?
I do. I mean, I got back into D&D. I played with you know, with Maker Studios. I played a campaign, with Rooster Teeth. So I'm into D&D. I wanted to go back and do another campaign. I don't know. I like the games. I've learned, you know, the more you play it again, you learn all the fun stuff about role playing and everything.
Your cell was so good for this game that I think I'm going to have to download this game. Damn it.
You're going to play League of Legends?
I got sidetracked to play Smite. I got really into Smite, and that was like around
Smite is League. Yeah, Smite is League of Legends. It's just like Smite's the FPS League of Legends.
Yes,
to play like more of the god you
exactly. And I had my ass handed to me by kids all the time, where I was like, "This isn't even fun anymore. I don't even like this."
What you do when you stream, you just get with a good player to play with you, play like bot lane, because you can play together, and they just tell you what to do while you're doing it as you're learning.
You know who's a really good League of Legends player if you want to team up with somebody, Maud? Yep. I don't know how well you know Jessica Negri, but Jessica Negri is actually the person who originally sold me on League of Legends.
Yeah. That's sick.
She is someone who has played like thousands of hours of League
of Legends. I want to put together, maybe for charity, but I'm going to do like a little celebrity League of Legends tournament bracket where we all can team up and get our own squads and go in and play a weekend. And just fun for fun, you know, have on all our Twitch channels and raise some money for charity.
That'd be funny.
And just get down, you know.
I'm down. I love that. All right, I gotta get practicing.
That's it. We're making it happen.
It's time to bring Amy, though, in, because it is the Bombs Away Q&A section where we are getting questions from you via Patreon if you're a Bomber backer or if you're in the chat watching live right now. Hi, Amy. Thank you so much. Great to see your face joining us for Power Up.
Hi. Yes, thank you. So nice to be here. Also, thank you, Speed Demon, for these. I love them so much.
Put your head down a bit. There it is. There you are.
Hello. My iPad's just like, hi, I'm sad. Oh, there is the preview. Okay, hello. Okay, so this question is from Patreon, patreon.com/geekbomb. This one's from James Smith. What was your favorite character out of all the roles you played?
Good question. I mean, it's hard to say what your favorite characters are because as actors, it's like you kind of go through your life and you play these characters and they just kind of like represent, you know, aspects of your life. Like, what's your favorite part of your life? I mean, Rufy, of course, is an amazing character. You work with some of the greatest people in the industry. And but I was 15, and it was like that movie to me when I look back. When I look back at movies and things I've done in my past, it's kind of like going back and looking at a picture book. And you see all the, you know, who you were at that time and your friends during that time and the ones you owe phone calls to and all that kind of stuff. I mean, Zuko, I got to say Zuko because I played it for so many years and just his redemption arc is so amazing. What you can do with a character over, you know, we did it over like 4 or 5 years. It's really beautiful to see that character and that story. So as far as his character itself, I got to go with Zuko.
So I did a binge battle with Rotten Tomatoes where I was up against someone else covering all things Avatar. And
really?
They obviously asked her topics first, but one of them was like, who has the best character arc? And she said Zuko, hands down, because he's got the best character arc in the whole show. And I had to try and select someone else and then argue against Zuko. And the whole time I'm like, what you've just said was a really great
part.
Like,
people come to me, they write me all the time, like, Prince Zuko's the best character arc in the history of movies and television. I'm like, what? I'm like, I didn't write it, but thank you.
I had to try and debunk it somehow because I was fighting for Aang. I was like, it's called Avatar The Last Airbender. It's about
Aang. Aang is great too. Aang got a great story arc. I don't know. I mean, Zuko came out of nowhere. Even for us, me playing it and even the other actors were like, what's going on? Like, who is this guy? Like, what's going on?
Got legs and he's going.
Yeah, it was great.
Like the Zuko Uncle Iroh team up was just amazing. It was like arrogance and ignorance meets, you know, wise and funny, you know, like
great.
That.
And the original Iroh Mako, who passed away during, I think, book two, he played my uncle or my father several times in my career. So he was really like Uncle Iroh to me. He knew me since I was 12. He played my uncle in a movie called Perfect Weapon and throughout my career. So he's someone that I got to see as I grew up to give me, and he's one of the most amazing Asian American actors out there. So he was able to give me advice and kind of had an eye on me throughout my whole career. So it's a special project.
Yeah. Have we got a Twitch question?
Mm-hmm. This next one's from STS2884. Which character in League of Legends do you want to voice the most?
Ooh, I do want to voice a character. I talk to those guys too. Problem is it's non-union over there at Riot, but who knows? We'll see what happens. I don't know. I mean, I'd like to voice a new character. I mean, I main ADC, and like my two mains are like Jinx and Ashe. You know, of course, there's some characters I think my voice would be good for, like Echo or I want to do a Firebender though. You know, Brand. I don't know if my voice would be good for Brand, but I like Brand. But I don't know, hopefully if they ever came out with a new character that's like Firebender-ish, I would definitely see if I can voice that. That'd be cool. But a cool thing about my main character, Jinx, I played it for a while and then they came out with a skin in Firecracker Jinx, which is Jake Long, the American Dragon skin, which is cool. Awesome.
Wow.
Little shout out to my main.
I think that's all the questions we've got for Bombs Away, but we will be doing another one from Patreon and Twitch for watching and reading, which is coming up actually right after this. So don't go anywhere, guys. Watching will be next.
All right. Cool. So I'll just leave it on the screen while we do our quick shout-outs.
You guys are so professional.
We try.
You know, you're very nice to say that. Yeah. We have a good time. I'm going to take this moment again to thank the new followers who are here. Maybelline, Drunk Mage 19, Archangel MKG, Batsim 71. Thank you guys for the follows. Welcome. Let's see. Who else do we have? Terry F 2104. I almost said 2014. Just a little dyslexia today. No big deal. Thank you for the resub. You're amazing. Welcome back, Meg Grimlock. Thank you for the tier 3 sub. Bam, 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 bam. You're awesome. Ooh. I appreciate you. Thank you for the host, Droget Dizzy. So that's all the shout outs we need to do because we have the notifications turned off during the show. So let me just switch some stuff behind the scenes while you folks chit chat amongst yourselves. And
I called Anna Camp in the chat.
That's pretty good.
All right.
I like Anna Camp. She's cool.
Anna Camp with like a very deep Australian voice. But yeah. Okay.
Okay, guys, it's time
and
for
And she's pick- a sweetheart.
Oh, that's
cool. I did a read through with her and I was like staring. She was like looking at me the whole time and not looking at her because I'm a big True Blood fan. And I was like, here they go, yes. True Blood.
Dude, that's like, another character that I don't think was supposed to have a very big role, but like she just stuck with it until the very end.
Remind me who she was on True Blood.
She was the Steve.
She had a relationship with Jason.
She was Steve Newland's wife. So like she ran like the Christian camp kind of thing. Like
Yeah, the Christian camp.
And then had an affair with Jason. I mean, that was one of the first rewatches I did in quarantine. I was like, did I ever finish this show?
I love the few episodes, the first few seasons of that show.
Few seasons were great, and then season four, Christopher Maloney comes in, and you're just like, oh, what happened? Because they went off the books. The books. I read all the books when I was.
Oh, is that what happened? They went off the books? Yeah. I was like, man, yes, this really spiraled down so hard.
Game of Thrones, season 7 and 8, off the books because they didn't exist.
Off the books.
Off the books.
I remember my friend.
We should save all this conversation for watching, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
My friend Kristen Bauer, we were doing a movie and she was like, I got this thing that HBO wants me to do. It's this thing about vampires. And she was reading me the lines and stuff. And it became True Blood. And she, you know, Kristen Bauer plays, what do you call it, the hardcore chick in the movie? Like in the show, the right hand, what's the main blonde guy? His right hand girl.
Plays Pam.
Pam, she plays Pam. Yeah. But when we were reading it and talking about it, we were like, what is this? She's like, I don't know. I'm flying across the thing with a bustier on. Like, I'm some kind
of
thing.
Great in the show. She was Kristen's so good.
An amazing, amazing actress. She's awesome. It's just, we were just laughing about it because we were shooting another project and she was like, I think I gotta do this HBO thing. I'm like, vampire? And it became True Blood.
Yeah.
Crazy. Well, like I said, we should save all this conversation for watching because Twitch chat, this is a little exclusive for you because this probably won't be in the VOD, all the stuff that we just said. So you're welcome. let's officially bring in the watching portion of the show now so that we have all of this because Dante has so many amazing short stories to share and we need to hear all of them. We need to document
too many short
all
stories.
Of them. We need to document all of them. So, welcome everyone to the watching portion of this week's Power Up. This is an extra special week because we have a special guest with us, Mr. Dante Bosco. Dun, 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 dun. So let's see if I got the right thing. I sure did. And we're there.
Bam.
Hey. So this is a dream come true because obviously like when you talk to someone who's very known for a role, it's usually the last thing they want to talk about. But what I absolutely adore is that because it's lockdown and Avatar has been brought back on Netflix and it's easily the number one rated show consistently, like pretty much from as soon as it came out, you're doing a rewatch and providing commentary about what it was like. So I want you to tell me all about Avatar for you since you got to play Prince Zuko.
We started watching on my stream channel, Honor Society, because we were like, it's so popular, let's watch it. And it's been great to get the cast members together and catch up on a weekly basis from all over the country and kind of just sit and talk. It's been years, it's been 15 years. So for us to kind of go back, you know, whoever can make it weekly and talk about the show and that particular show and our memories of that show or dialogue of that show, it's been great. It's been also wonderful because you find out like myself, like I never watched the whole series from like top to bottom. I mean, as an actor, sometimes we just do stuff and then you don't ever really watch it. Like you do a movie, you kind of go to the premiere and you watch the premiere, but like I you know, I'm not like watching the stuff I'm doing over and over again. So especially TV shows, I never, you kind of lived it when you did it. And yeah. So it's amazing to see all of us, me and Jack and a lot of us, talk about like what it was like doing the show, what it was like when we found out the show was becoming popular, and then having it be popular again. It's pretty, pretty wild. But so many great stories come from the shows, from like the first time I met like Mark Hamill, who played my dad, played Ozai, or certain funny lines, or what was improv, what wasn't improv. I mean, Michaela Murphy, back when those days, was named Jessie Flower. She's like a little kid actor, and what she remembers as a kid, as opposed to now, she just graduated from like Yale and she's like a full-blown adult woman. You know, like, what were you thinking back then? I remember her and her mom coming to the set, and then people like, you know, we've watched an episode before with like Gray DeLau. Gray hasn't seen anything, you know, but then Gray knows every word she's ever said. I think she has like a, I don't know, she must have like a photographic memory, because we were doing it before it was on Netflix, just on DVD, before Twitch kind of shut us down because of copyright stuff. But Gray was like, I don't know any, I've never seen the show. And I was like, don't worry about it. I never saw the show before we started doing this either. She goes, okay. And then she's off the camera. And as soon as Azula comes in, she walks on the screen and just starts saying every Azula line in.
Still knows Azula's them. Voice.
I'm like, how do you, you just told me you don't know the show. She's like, I don't know, it just came back to me. I'm like,
that's insane.
Have you guys met Gray DeLisle? Gray, who plays Azula? Gray DeLisle is like, you know that commercial with like the world's most interesting man? She's like the world's most interesting woman. Whoa. She's like super sexy and cool and like mother of three now, and like she looks like a, you know, like a 50s kind of pinup model. She doesn't have pants. I've never seen her in pants ever. I don't think she owns any pants, but she just wears kind of skirts. She also won a Grammy for like country western music.
What?
And she also, she's half Mexican and can speak Spanish. She also went to prom with Mario Lopez.
Amazing.
Like every time you talk to her, like something else weird comes out. We're like, who are you? Like, what's she also does stand up now. She started doing stand up. She's at the comedy. She's like, she hits me up, like, I'm gonna be at the Comedy Store tonight. I'm like, Gray DeLisle, you're too much. You're too much.
I have a very, I guess, upsetting announcement to make. I was 4 minutes ago when I found out that Mark Hamill voiced Ozai. I didn't
know. You just
know
found
that. I didn't know that. Yeah, I didn't know that the whole time. I didn't know. Luke, and I'm a massive Star
Luke Skywalker's
Wars
fan. My dad. Luke Skywalker's my dad.
I just didn't. I didn't. I need a moment. I need a moment. He was.
That's crazy.
He voiced. I mean, I know he voiced the Joker. I didn't know he voiced.
He was a Joker.
But he was.
He's Ozai. Fuck. He's. I mean, I have on my YouTube channel, I tell the story when I first met him. It was crazy because I didn't know either. I just was in the studio by myself and usually do it everybody, but that special episode was like there. And then Andrea Romano is like this legendary voiceover director. She's like, well, Mark's going to come in and play your dad. I'm like, okay. And it's like 5 o'clock in Burbank at Salami Studios. I was like, I always feel like it was raining outside or something.
Okay.
And then I'm there, it's dark. And I'm just sitting there, and then all of a sudden, like, the door opens, like, by itself. And it's, like, mist came in, right? And there's, like, this guy in all black. And he walks in, and it's, like, he's, like, hi, I'm Mark. And I'm, like, that's Mark Hamill. I'm, like, and he's, like, I'm, like, yeah. And I'm, like, in my mind the whole time, I'm, like, oh, my God, this is Mark Hamill. And we do the whole scene with people that know the show. It's, like, we did the whole Agni Kai, right? Where we're yelling, and he's, like, scarring my face, and I'm like, no, father, no, like I'm doing all those lines, right? And then we end, and like I'm all just kind of exhausted. I plop down on the chair, and then he kind of floats out on the mist out of the room. And then it just occurs to me, like, we just did, me and Mark Hamill just did the Vader Luke scene, except he was Vader and I was Luke. It was like one of the most surreal moments of my life. It was crazy.
This is the second time where two worlds are colliding because of Avatar again. For me, I don't. know how to handle it anymore.
I know, it was wild. And he's the sweetest guy. I ended up doing another show with him afterwards, and I spent a good amount of time with him. He's really a beautiful, beautiful dude, a great guy, a great mentor. His stories are out of control. I walked into a party for Kevin Michael Richardson, and he was there, and he's like, Dante. And I was like, in my heart, like, oh my God, Luke Skywalker knows
Father?
Dad.
Oh, far out.
That is so cool. And you know, it's always interesting because my friends that do voice acting, you normally tell me like, oh, the other people in the show I don't ever get to work with because I just record my stuff in a booth privately. But most of my voiceover friends are video game voiceover friends. Do you find that you get to see more of the other actors in animation versus voiceover or video game voiceover?
I think so. Mm-hmm. I think so. I mean, I like to, you know, especially the first few seasons when you're kind of doing these things, you're acting. You want to be, you know, you need to like see what everyone else is doing and like have that kind of back and forth. And then as our schedules get rougher, it's like it's harder to get us all in the room together or like in different countries or things. And then brilliant directors kind of can sew performances together, which I still am like, how did you sew that performance together? But I always love to be in the room and just kind of like, because you feed off the energy of each other and the, you know, the rapport, whatever that is, like the ping pong back and forth. It's like, what am I reacting to? Like, how is he going to do it? I don't know how he's going to do it. You know?
So how have you been watching it back for the first time?
Mm-hmm. I haven't watched it back. Oh, I'm watching it back now?
Yeah.
It's funny. Like, some of it flies right over my head. I'm like, I don't remember ever doing any of this. And also, just loving the art and seeing what other people are doing. Because, you know, you got to understand, when we did it, I was with the cast so much that, you know, Katara's Mae Whitman. Sokka is Jack, Descendant. Like, I'm looking at Jack and Mae do their parts all the time, or little Toph, seeing little Michaela Murphy do it. So to see it as the animated characters is a whole different feeling, you know. But it's wonderful. I mean, it's one of the greatest stories told. So it's kind of like great to relive it again with a bunch of people and talk about it and relive memories. And it's great.
Do you agree with and understand why Zuko is a bit of a sex symbol?
Yeah. Thank you, Mod, for that question. Yeah, I mean, I get it. You know, he's cool. I mean, he's great. He's a sexy dude. He's, you know, he'd have his own K-pop band, you know, he'd be killing the game.
He'd do the pyrotechnics in the show as well. I did that.
He didn't have no pyrotechnics. He'd just be on the stage doing all kinds of stuff. No, I think he's that bad boy. You know, girls love the bad boy, I guess, but with a heart of gold. Like, even though he was, like, bad, he was actually always trying to do the right thing. It just was, sometimes it wasn't the right thing at that moment, but then.
Well, he's at the age where you make mistakes, you know? He's at the same age that you were when you were filming Hook, right?
Yeah, yeah.
What was that like? Were there comparisons there as well?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Also, yeah, again, another young teenager just kind of like, I don't know. It's kind of funny when you see, like, when those things become, like, those images or those ideas become, like, sexy or something like that. Like, I don't know. I don't get it 100%. I get it just because I can understand it now as an adult. As a kid, just, like, I don't know. It's very funny, like, with Rufio, there's a whole generation of girls that was like, that's my first, and guys, like, that was, like, my first crush. Like, that was my sexual awakening, like, Rufio and Hook. And I was like,
it was the hair.
I meet them. Yes, the hair, and they write to me. Someone posted on TikTok, like, all these new TikTok boys are just, like, wanting to be Rufio. Like, all the TikTok boy, like, the fluffy hair, the leather, they're like, it's Rufio. That's what these kids are. I'm like, that's so funny.
Yeah.
I saw an interview for the guy from 1975, Maddie, you know, the lead singer in 1975, and they're asking about his style, and he's like, my style's Rufio. That's my style.
Yeah, I see
And
it.
I was like, holy, that's crazy.
Punk grunge, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, and punk grunge. Yeah.
Rufio's a mood, you know?
He's a mood. He's a vibe. Rufio's a vibe.
Well, and speaking of Rufio, this perfectly ties into our first Bombs Away Q&A question. So, Amy, let her rip.
Okay. This one's from Thierry Fournier. Can you share a fond memory of working with two movie legends, Robin Williams and Dustin Hoffman?
Oh yeah, I mean those guys are like, you know, when you're 15, you're doing a movie like that. You gotta realize, I was a very serious actor. I started acting when I was 10, so I was very into, and I still am into acting. But with Dustin Hoffman and Robin Williams and Steven Spielberg directing, right? In our industry, these guys are no less than gods, like literal gods. They changed the industry. Hoffman was a part of the 70s actors, along with Pacino, De Niro, and Nicholson, that changed what acting forever was. And you know, Robin Williams is like, he brought improv into filmmaking and television, and smarter and faster than anybody. I mean, and you know, Steven Spielberg, he's like one of the greatest actors of his time. I would come to set on my days off, just to come watch those guys work and just to be in the same room as them. As young artists or as people in the world, it's like, have the wherewithal to understand when you're in the presence of greatness to show up and listen and be there. And I did not take it lightly. It was like being in the presence of like Picasso doing a paint stroke or your Mozart conducting a symphony. Like that's what it was. And to see these guys and to be kind of like mentored by them as I was doing the film, they all looked at me as a young kid. I mean, Dustin Hoffman was like my acting coach during my death scene. We'd go over and over again, talk about this stuff, and he was like explaining things to me and like feeling things. And he literally went through all the acting exercises for me while we were shooting it, and was just the most loving, kind of like elder statesman actor to like give me that. And then Robin was just sweet to me every day and just really took it upon himself to like know everybody in the crew, and kind of like he brought me on the side one day, and he was like, you know, he's like, where are you from? And I was like, oh, I'm from the Bay Area. He's like, yeah, me too. He was like, but where's your family from originally? I was like, I'm Filipino. And he's like, oh my, that's great. You know, my wife, his wife at the time, Marcia, she was like, you know, she's half Filipino. I was like, oh, I didn't know that. He goes, yeah, and you remind me so much of that side of the family. And this is little things where it's like, as an actor in Hollywood, you know, you're always feeling like you're on the outside looking in onto the party, and you just want to be part of that big party, you know? And cats like Robin Williams has a way of, they have a way of telling you, like, you know, putting the shoulder around you, like your arm around your shoulder, and like going, like, you belong here. Like, this is for you too. You're not on the outside. Come be here with us. And it's, so I just love that guy forever for things like that.
That's awesome. Yeah, that must have been so life-changing. And just as someone who studied theater and acting technique in college, like you talking about Dustin Hoffman coaching you through your death scene at such a young
Oh,
age
crazy.
is so like insanely mind-blowing to me.
It was insanely mind-blowing to me at the time. It's still insanely mind-blowing to me, you know? It's crazy.
Yeah,
It's
my
literally crazy.
brain's coming out my ears, because my mind is blown. But we do have one more question, just for the watching section for Bombs Away in the Twitch chat. Amy, what do we got?
This one's from the Catnip Ninja. What role that you've played, popularity aside, has impacted your life the most?
I mean, I'd have to say it's probably Rufio, because I was such a kid coming into it, and then doing a role like Rufio, you know, it's a big entree into Hollywood, and you're again with all these gods of the industry, and you're kind of like being introduced to your community of Hollywood and the world alongside these guys. And then the magic thing about Hollywood is like they're playing Hook right now, and I explained this in the beginning of Hook. They're playing Hook, part of Michael B. Jordan's Diverse Voices, in this whole touring with Amazon Studios, driving throughout the country. And so the closing night is like Spider-Verse, and Michael B. Jordan picked Rufio on Hook. And so what I explained before the movie is the magic of Hollywood is like Peter Pan and Neverland is a story that's been around longer than any of us on Earth has been alive. And it's gonna be here longer than we're all here, right? And it's not even, I mean, I love Harry Potter, I love Star Wars, it's like those are great franchises. It's like bigger than all of those things. It's a fairy tale. It's a literal fairy tale. And somehow in 1991, when Steven Spielberg cast me to play the leader of the Lost Boys, all of a sudden this Filipino kid, this Asian kid, is forever canon in this fairy tale. Like, you see people cosplay Peter Pan and the gang at Disneyland or at Comic Cons. There's Peter and there's Captain Hook or maybe the Crocodile and Tinkerbell, and then there's someone there, whether a person of color or not, that's representing a person of color in this fairy tale with three mohawks and red and black leather, and it's it's actually like another dimension. Like, how did this happen? How does that happen? And it went on to impact a whole generation of Asian actors that came to town after that. Even John M. Chu, who directed Crazy Rich Asians and is, you know, like the big voice in this whole new Asian media push right now. He's like, the first feeling I ever felt that I can be a part of Hollywood is seeing Dante Bosco play Rufio and Hook, which is crazy.
I don't know if this is a weird thing or not, but like as an Australian, we have like more sort of like, we're in the Australasian vicinity. So yeah, representation of Asian characters. Like when I was watching Hook, it wasn't like, oh, he's Asian. That was actually quite normal for me. And it was sort of like the African-Americans that I was like, I've only ever seen this sort of through media. It's so interesting hearing your perspective on that and like the profound impact it had in the American scope and just how different it is all over the world. But I love that.
Australians are Asian in their own way. Australians are in Asia. Australia is in Asia.
Australasia. Yeah, we're all like, you know, when you were saying we're just in Jakarta, I was like, that's a 3-hour flight from where I grew up.
Yeah. I did judge a Miss Asia contest, and there was a blonde chick from Australia in the contest. We were like, what's going on here? She got third.
Sounds about right. Sounds about white. Yeah, that's Australia for you. That's Australia for you. Thank you so much for answering those questions, though. That wraps up the watching component of Power, but we've still got reading to go, and that'll be up next.
All right. That was fascinating. Thank you for sharing all of that, Dante.
So interesting.
So interesting. I know. So in this little break, we just want to take a moment. I want to thank Wu-Tang 11, Big Brennan 79, Grim Nines, and Wah Speed Racer, and Dame Tech. Thank you all for the follows, and welcome to the community. All right, so Maude and I are going to bring in the reading portion of the show in just a minute. I just have to swap something behind the scenes again real quick.
You got a comment about your ponytail, by the way, Trisha.
What?
You got a comment about your ponytail.
Oh, yes, thank you. I do like a up and then clip it, so it's not a ponytail that just hangs all the way down to here, you know? That way it's like a short, fun one instead of a really long, heavy one. It's like 103 degrees where I live today, so pulling my hair up was necessary.
It's a hot one today.
Yeah.
Alrighty, reading.
Let's do it.
Power Up consists of an acronym, and that is playing, watching, reading, mm-hmm. and we're at the reading component of this week's Power Up with our amazing guest, Dante Bosco. If you've seen the two previous videos of this one, or if you're in the live chat, what an amazing experience we've all shared together so far. This has been so rewarding. I'm so looking forward to hearing, Dante, what you are currently reading. Hit us with it.
Wow, The Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes. I love that you guys have a reading section of this whole thing. It's awesome.
You know how you were saying you do a movie club? I do a book club as well.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I'm really about that. And it's like a whole new thing now because of Audible. So there's like a different medium that you can start listening to books as well as reading books. Yeah.
Totally.
And we consider audiobooks part of the reading portion of this show as well. Yeah, so whether you're reading or listening at all, and comic books, same like thing. All of that counts.
But it just occurred to me, the Power Up PWR.
Hey, there you go.
You guys are so smart. I love that.
Are you a Hunger Games fan?
A big Hunger Games fan. I read all the books previously to this. I didn't even know this book was coming out. I was like walking through a Target, and then I was like, that's the Mockingbird. And then I was like, oh, they came out another book. So I picked it up and just started reading it right away. I'm like in chapter 10 right now. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know what, I was like, I wonder what this is about. And it's the like precursor to the whole Hunger Games. I didn't even know. It's Snow's, I can't pronounce his name. It's Snow's story, his origin
Cornelius?
Story.
Cornelius?
Coriana Ellis.
Okay.
I'm fact checking. Here we go.
I just call him Snow.
I read long names, I do exactly that. And I'm like, I know the first letter. I know a couple of letters in the middle. I don't say it out loud. Like McGonagall. Yeah. Every time I would read Professor McGonagall, I'd be like, oh yeah, Professor McGonagall.
It is spelled Coriolanus.
Coriolanus.
But I don't know if that's how it's pronounced. Now I'm looking up pronunciation, guys.
This whole time.
Yeah, it's Donald Sutherland's character. It's Snow. It's the evil Snow, but he's like the hero of this book. At least so far, he's very heroic, or he's like the protagonist.
But this is the thing about a great villain. A lot of the time, there's shades of gray, and they don't actually think that they're bad. They think that what they are doing is good.
Right. Also in life. That's the thing you come to realize in life, everybody. No one's actually bad. They're just trying to do what's right. It's just what's right for them. It's not what's right for you.
Yes. I think Thanos actually hit the nail on the head with that, where he was just like, you know, this needs to happen, but I'm going to wipe out half the population. And you're like,
Thanos.
But don't. Yeah, but it's also that as well. I had this analogy recently. I was chatting with someone and they call it the forest or the trees. And it's like, if you're in that position where it's like, the forest is people, the population, and individual trees that make up the forest are the people that you know. So it's like, would you save a few trees knowing that the forest would wipe out? Or would you save the forest knowing that the trees had to be cut down?
There's a thing called the greatest good for the greatest number. Mm. That's what you're supposed to do. I think politically, like the greatest good for the greatest number of people.
But if someone's like, I will save 10 people's lives, but I'm going to kill your mom, could you actually be like, sounds great?
I know. Yeah.
Morally, I know. That's what I have to accept. You'd be like, no way. I don't know these 10 people. That's my mama.
I mean, that's...
That's my mama.
That's honestly the whole, like, the original Last of Us dilemma. Like, that dilemma, that Thanos' dilemma to some degree.
That's Thanos' dilemma. It's easier to see when it's, like, a big, like, you know, the Jesus Christ thing. Like, yeah, I'll die to save everyone, why not? But it's like, when you die to save those 10 people, I don't know those 10 people, but it's
are they worth it?
Yeah. It's only those 10 people. What about the whole species? I'm good for that.
That's why I realized interesting. During a zombie apocalypse, I would probably have to sacrifice myself to save the rest of the group, and I'm okay with that, you know, if that means that they get to live. Well, I can't cook. I'm not a medic. I've never held a gun in my life. What good am I in a zombie apocalypse except life?
You play video games.
Mod, what were you saying your role would be? What are you doing, Mod?
I would sacrifice myself to save the group, or I would be a getaway driver. But, you know, gas is a precious commodity. I think about this a little bit too much, guys. Like, for a zombie apocalypse, I guess we're heading there more than ever. Okay, now the conversation is valid again.
The pandemic has a lot of Thanos stuff going on within the whole pandemic situation. It's very Thanosian. But you know, you're an Aussie. The most of the Aussies I know could all do a lot of outdoor stuff. Like,
remember when I said the path was in front of me, the fork in the road, where I could choose to put gaming aside or I could continue it? When you continue gaming, you have to sacrifice on other life skills and outdoor things. And I did.
Whenever you meet anyone, guy or girl, in Australia, they want to do something outdoorsy. They want to swim. They want to ride a horse. They want to do something with a knife. Like, what are we doing? And you're totally not. You're like a very LA. You're very LA Aussie. I'm LA too.
I recently killed a fly with my bare hands and I didn't flinch. That's normal for me.
Oh, I wouldn't do that.
Yeah. All right.
Can you ride a horse?
Yes.
See, that's very Australian. Very Aussie.
That's very cool.
Swim. Of course you could swim.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Very good swimmer.
Not very good. I can get from A to B without dying. It's more graceful than a doggy paddle.
That's very good. Long.
When I can confirm, when I went to, and I know New Zealand is different, but close in world scope and, you know, physical distance, when I went to New Zealand on my honeymoon.
Kiwis, Aussies, same thing.
When I went to New Zealand on my honeymoon, everyone did everything outdoors and, like, all the stuff to do was outdoors. And even though I grew up being, like, a very outdoorsy kid, I'm not really, as an adult, I'm too LA now. I'm not really a super outdoorsy adults. So it was really funny on our honeymoon because it was like everything to do was adventure centric and outdoors.
Yeah.
And I was like, ooh, I don't, not sure.
That's a lot of earth and space.
But I did try zorbing. Have either of you ever been zorbing?
I think so.
What is that? Explain it.
Giant
roll
plastic
down
bowl.
The hill in a giant hamster ball.
I've done it.
It's awesome. It's awesome.
I won't ever skydive or bungee jump though. Like, I just don't.
No, I won't do that either.
I don't feel the need to nearly die, you know? Like,
I skydove on a second date. On a second date. This girl wanted to have a near-death experience with us, with me.
I would be too afraid I would pee my pants in front of a date.
It was crazy. It was like everything in your body does not want to jump out of that plane. But once you go, it's pretty fun.
Like mini golf, you know?
She was like, you want to go skydiving? I'm like, sure. This is exciting. Let's go.
Yeah, but way to up the bar. Like, what's third date? Do you want to go, you know, go fishing and find our own dinner? Like,
exactly, right? I know, but there's nothing else. That was the most adrenaline rushed situation, second date ever. It's crazy.
So how did the relationship go after that?
We're not dating anymore. She's a sweet girl.
Okay. All right. So it wasn't like, oh yeah, and then it peaked at that and it went all downhill from there. It was okay.
No, it was good. It was cool. She was cool. I was, it's me. I was in a weird time in my life.
That's a good story. That's power down. I will save that one and stop projecting shit that's happening in my life. If you're up to chapter 10, is there a good setting? Are you kind of back into the Hunger Games universe with this book? Like, last question.
Yes. The thing is, I didn't even read the back of the book. I just like went in. I don't know what I'm doing. And I thought it was happening after the whole thing. And I thought the snow they were talking about was like Snow's great grandson or something that's trying to build himself back up from like the whole rebellion. But then I realized somewhere like, oh, this is, I had to go on the internet and go, hold on a second, is this the same Snow, the same name? I was like, oh. And then I realized this is the origin story, and it talks about how the Hunger Games got created. So it's really, I really love the world. I love reading books that are like world building. I love like, you know, this, and I mean, of course, Harry Potter and
what house are you in? Other?
Gryffindor.
Same.
Yes. Trish, what are you, Trish?
Ravenclaw.
Trish, what are you? Course, you haven't had a movie or nothing. What's going on?
The nerdiest friend you have. Of course, I'm in Ravenclaw.
I'm a Gryffindor. I have a whole theory about Gryffindor and Fire Nation. Same colors.
Oh, I had this theory as well. I went through it all. And apparently, yeah, Gryffindor is fire.
Yeah,
Because Slytherin is water. Wasn't
water,
it?
Yeah.
And
okay,
then
Hufflepuff
was air, and Ravenclaw was earth. Oh man, I did a tweet about it, and like it ended up being a massive conversation.
Really? Yeah, but also, I mean, of course, Fire Nation.
I might do a TikTok on it. Actually,
Gryffindor has that flip coin when you read the cursed stones. Like the Gryffindors and the Slytherins are the flip side of the same coin. Just who depends who wins, how you look at. What
literally,
good,
mine's
what
better
bad.
Than second tail. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, but also, I mean, of course, you know, Fire Nation is House Lannister, of course.
Yeah. Oh, and you're going Game of Thrones with it? This is the kind of conversations that I have all the time.
Yes.
House Tyrell is it?
What's your Thrones house, everybody?
Lannister. Ooh. House Lannister.
Tyrell.
Tyrell. I can see that.
Cups of tea in the garden. Are you kidding?
I know. Yeah. You guys lost everything. You guys lost everything.
Yep. Sounds about right.
Went down. Mm-hmm. Wasn't beautiful garden though. Beautiful.
Beautiful garden. Oh,
I love a rooftop bar. I mean, a rooftop bar. Nothing better than a rooftop bar.
That's it.
Trish? What's your house?
I mean, part of me always said Stark because I'm like too good for my own good. Like, I get in my own way a lot of times because I want to choose the right thing, which isn't necessarily always the right thing.
Don't lose your head.
I'd like to say maybe House Tully.
Oh, okay. Tully's. Yeah, the Tully's. I got this conversation with Jack DeSena, and he went deep because he read all the books, and he started going deep in it.
I love it.
One crazy story, when we were in we were in Australia and New Zealand, and we were on a Comic-Con tour, right? And we were there, we were there with the Critical Role guys. I don't know if you know Travis and Laura.
Mm-hmm.
And we're all in the van together, and Jason Momoa and the Battlestar Galactica guys were in there. And we're in the van, and he gets a phone call, and he books a job. And the job, he's like, I play this Barbarian King guy for this new HBO show, and he's talking about it. And Travis in Laura are freaked, not because they read the books, they know the books, and the rest of us had no idea, like, what is he talking about? Like, cool, like, you look like you'd be a barbarian king, that's cool, man. He's like, this is great.
Like, and they're like, he's called Drogo.
Yeah, and it's Game of Thrones.
Far out.
And Travis was never freaking out, and we, of course, we didn't know what the heck they were talking about. And perfect casting for.
So that's what I was gonna ask you, Dante. I was gonna ask you for the Hunger Games, but this goes for Game of Thrones too. Did you read any of the books prior to the stories being put on screen?
Yes, I mean Hunger Games. I read all the books.
Okay.
Before I watched, I think they're all out, or at least the two of them were out before. Mm-hmm. Hunger Games. I mean, Game of Thrones. I haven't read the books. I love the show so much that I just watched. I should go back and read the books.
Books are great. A lot more characters. Danny's a lot younger, so some of the scenes, like, they go a little bit too
far.
All of the characters are a lot younger, which makes things that happen to the Stark children very different feeling as well. So I understand why, for screen reasons and for casting children actors, they had to age. I think they're all aged up 2 or 3 years. Everybody's essentially aged up 2 or 3 years. But like, what happens to Bran? What happens to Sansa? All of that's way more disturbing when you take 2 or 3 years off how old they are.
Right, right. Except for those days, that was age is probably the regular age, because they're probably going to die at 25.
That's right. 25 is like senile. Yeah. There was a scene like about the war where someone was like abandoned and they had, I think, gotten infested by worms. And it was written in such graphic detail that I retched reading it. Yeah. So have fun with that one. It's going to be a great time.
I will tell you, though, as someone who read all the books that were available before the series came out, there were things that I think the books do better and things that I thought the series did better. So there is certainly still value if you've seen the series. And
how do you, just quick note, how did you feel about the end of the series?
I hated it.
I cried for so long. I cried hard after the finale because I championed it seriously still halfway through. Like when the Battle of Winterfell happened, I was like, yeah, but guys, it's not over yet. It can still turn around. And then at the end, I mourned the show.
I was a little bit disturbed by the ending of it too. I was just like, and I got into some discussion with a lot of people about it because I love the show. We all love the show.
Right.
And one of the biggest things that I remember feeling about is like, yeah, why are like, you know, the two strongest women in the show just crazy? Like, like Cersei and Dany, like, what? Like, how is they just crazy women that gotta be killed? You gotta kill both of them. Like, that just doesn't make sense to me.
And Bran rolls in and the sunglasses come down and he's like, I guess I'm king. And you're like, what?
After the Bells episode, which was the second to last episode of the series, as soon as the credits started rolling, I think I just tweeted out, like, I'm mad at everything right now. And that's how I stayed.
Yeah.
So I didn't have the crying reaction that you had, Maude. I was just irate. And so by the time I got to the finale, I was like, I don't even care. I know where this is going and I don't even care.
I don't even care what happened. Like, I don't want you to be a liar or nothing, but no one saw you kill Dany. The dragon just took her. We don't even know she's dead. Like, where did she go? Like, I don't know. She jumped on the back of the dragon. I'm going to run the kingdom. She'll be back. She went with the dragon. I don't know where they went. No one saw nothing. It's a war. I don't know what.
Well,
so weird. Then he just goes back
all,
to the wall.
We're
What's
all
going
hoping
on?
For George to finish the books and give us the ending to the story that you know makes more sense and that we deserve. And I don't mean that in change the things necessarily that happen in the ending, but at least tell us how they got there. Show us some kind of real journey to how that happened.
Story and Bran has a great story. Bran wasn't even in like 4 seasons.
Yes.
How great was that story?
George R. R. Martin actually gave the public a due date, saying that if the book isn't out by July 29, we can imprison him. And that was 2 days ago. So, George, buddy, it's even in lockdown. Like, that's when you get
George's
shit
on the
done.
Run. George is on the run.
Anyway, time for Bombs Away Q&A questions. Let's bring Amy Cassandra Martinez back in to ask those. One's from Patreon, one's from Twitch. Lovely to have you, Amy. What's the question we got?
Thank you so much. So this one's from Adam Tulos asking, favorite book series you would like to see adapted to live action film or animation?
You sound like a big reader if you're reading things like Hunger Games before they come out.
I'm not a big reader. I'm like a basic reader. I like to read like bestseller stuff that I know is pretty good. I mean, a lot of stuff I read kind of became films. Some not, or series. I don't know. I mean, turn me on to something new. I mean, something I'm not really. I mean, I loved Ready Player One as a book, and I wasn't in love with the film when it came out. You know, like, ugh. But I can't think of any series that I've read right now that haven't already become series. You know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Honestly, the market as well. Like, there are people that are paid to read every book that comes out. And then if something remotely could be good, studios will buy the rights to it. It's snapped up like that.
Really? For exactly YA reason. Is the young adults like so hot right now, for sure.
They're trying to get the next Harry Potter. By Warner Brothers purchasing Harry Potter, it saved their company. It's like basically made up something stupid like 50% of their revenue. I kind of want someone to fact check that now. But like one book franchise just made this company phenomenal in that way.
That's
like
wild.
Such big earnings. Yeah, so I think everyone's just waiting for the next Harry Potter, which is why books are being made all the time. Like Artemis Fowl, what a crap film. But they already planning to make all of them.
There's anyway. So many you can tell. There's that whole thing. It's like, oh, we're gonna do Harry Potter like kind of thing sometimes. And we do, I mean, I too, like even the Hunger Games, you kinda like compare it to Harry Potter.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You're like, mm-hmm. How was their world? Did they build their world right? Was it like how? Mm-hmm. I don't know. It all goes back to Lucas to me. It all goes back to Lucas and Star Wars.
Well, it's like, going to be the next Star Wars. Yeah. That was the one where the merchandising made the company all the money, you know, mm-hmm. toys, all that. Have we got
a thing that happened with Avatar because it became like one of those worlds that were like so detailed that it felt real. Like, yeah. Can we get to that?
But also, the big thing about that is that when you finished Avatar, you weren't done with the series. You wanted more. Like, the world was so impactful, and it was such a nourishment that, like, you just wanted anything else, almost. Like, tell me any story in this world, because I just need it.
That's the wild thing. When it became, like, that feeling, where, like, it became a phenomenal hit, I remember being, you know, because I'm a big Star Wars fan, a big Harry Potter fan and everything, you're like, am I part of, like, the next, like, thing like that? Like, what? Like, this is like the new, it's like Star Wars' thing for this new generation. And then you're like, and then your character becomes popular. And you're like, what? Am I Han Solo? Like, what's going on? Like, what's happening? Things happen. Like, it just blows your mind because none of us entered that project with any of those aspirations. At least the actors, I'm sure Mike and Brian had some other aspirations, knew what things were going on for us. We were just like, let's just. Me and Mae Whitman just came off doing, we were in the middle of doing American Dragon Jake Long. We did, the last season of American Dragon Jake Long was the same as the first season of of Avatar. And we were supposed to do another thing with it, but then Disney got mad because we were also on Nickelodeon.
Yep. And they're very frustrated about their branding like that. I know.
Yeah, they were not happy.
Have we got a Twitch question, Amy? Because this will wrap things up.
So this one is from Nathan Swap. Since you have written one book, would you like to write another, fiction or nonfiction?
I don't know. I mean, I am a writer, so I write a lot of poetry. And I've had some books of poetry published. I'm sure I'll do more of that. And I write scripts. The film I just directed, I co-wrote, and I've written probably 3-4 scripts now that got produced, three of them. And then and I wrote a play, which I love, called Midnight Makeout Session. Which may become a movie someday, but I hope to get back out there on the theater when we're all out of the pandemic.
Where has the play been put up? Has it been put up in LA?
Yeah, we did a few small stints, like runs in LA, and it sold out every night. Night. It's called the Midnight Makeout Session. It's like about these friends that are,
I'm aware of those.
Kind of like over their, you know, over their, promiscuous, they're in their 30s or over their promiscuous kind of 20s, and they're trying to get back to the romance of their first kiss. And they decided to put together a midnight makeout session, like eighth grade dance. We came up with all these rules, and they throw it in their bar, their local bar that's closed one night, and it becomes this whole thing about guys and girls and acting girls out, and what does that mean? Mm-hmm. And it's all about making out, slow dancing, and slow jam tapes, like mixtapes.
I see. That's very romantic.
Yeah, it's romantic. Yeah, but the first time, we break the fourth wall, by the end of the play, everyone that came to the play, it's like has to adhere to the rules of the Midnight Makeout Session. And the whole thing, by the end of it, we're, my whole goal is to get everybody in the play to make out with each other and slow dance. And it happened. Like, literally, the first night we did it, half the audience went up on stage slow dancing, and we just ended the play and just let the DJ spin for another hour.
Aww.
Yeah, so it's the midnight makeout set.
In Australia, the term is called pashing. When you pash someone, it's short for passionate kiss, but that's what a makeout. Pashing? Pash. Pashing. Yeah, P-A-S-H-I-N-G. So if you, and then if you pash for too long, especially with a guy, you'll get pash rash. And that's
you'll get pash rash.
Yeah, pash rash.
I know. I did a movie called But I'm a Cheerleader where I have to make out with a guy. And me and Kip Pardue got pash rash. I didn't realize how sound peppery the situation was for you girls out there.
It's all real.
A whole new respect. It's serious. And we were like red all over. I'm like, damn, this guy's manhandling me. It's too much. I don't know how y'all deal with that. It's crazy.
You just have to, you know, if that's what you're into, you just have to be into it.
Is it softer if it grows out?
A little bit, yeah. It's just, it's more the stubble that really grates, on. I don't like clean shaven either. So, like, more of a facial hair is key.
But everybody has their preference. Everyone's preference is different.
That is true. Everyone's No one likes pash rash. I just love that it's got a great name because it just says everything you need to know about it. Chat says that your play sounds absolutely amazing as well and that they need to see this. So that's lovely. I'm glad we got to learn more about that too. But that actually concludes Power Up for this week. We got through playing, watching, reading. We had a lovely chat with Dante. Thank you so much for sharing these amazing stories. Thank you for letting me fangirl. Thank you for chatting about Zuko and Rufio and these incredible characters and the profound impact that they've not only had on you but the world. I really appreciate you spending time with us, and don't forget Dante has a stream after this, so head over, go to Honor Society, give that a follow.
Yes, and we're starting book two.
What time is that, Dante? That's in what, a half an hour?
Yeah, 3 p.m Pacific Standard Time, and we're raising money for COVID frontliners, so that's just amazing. Come watch, donate $1, and get, you know, have a few drinks with us. I'm drinking White Claw.
Okay.
What's your favorite flavor?
Huh?
What's your favorite flavor?
I think today I'm doing watermelon and tangerine.
I saw the new flavors and I want to do that because it had mango, but I just think
mango's good. Mango's good. Tangerine's good. Watermelon's great. My go-tos are like grape, ruby grapefruit, and the black cherry for sure.
That's it. That's where it's at. Not lime. No one likes lime.
No one likes lime.
No.
Throw that lime out the window. Don't put that in the variety pack. Keep that. Save that lime.
Am I missing out on life because I don't drink that stuff?
I drank 3 White Claws last night because of one bad tweet, and I felt fine this morning.
How many White Claws did you drink?
Just three.
Over a bad tweet?
Yeah.
I hate when that happens.
I know.
It happens to all of us.
Is that like one that just finds the chinkama?
You're just scrolling through too, like not even doing nothing, then someone says something that ruins your day. Like,
yeah,
I'm gonna ruin my day.
It's just that fine little, you know, everything else is just like ding 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 ding, and then that one finds the little weakness, and you're like, oh, okay.
I'm sorry, Maude.
We're all human.
Chat about it in Power Down.
We are all human, and I'm throwing in chat right now the link to Honor Society, which is where you can watch Dante stream. That starts, no joke, in a half an hour. And thank you to Catnip Ninja, who gifted a sub to Honor Society. So Honor Society is now officially a part of the Dragon Rider community. And you can go check them out in a half hour, which is awesome.
And also Thursday nights, you've got Artificial on Twitch as well. Did you say that was at 5 o'clock?
At 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time.
Yep. Fantastic. So you can actually get involved and help navigate the narrative on that story every single week and show... Just actually see what revolutionary content is coming out on Twitch, and it's Emmy winning as well. What else do we want to plug? Movie club.
We're talking about Cinema Club on Monday. We're talking about Princess Bride, 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on my personal IG live.
Fantastic. Cool.
If you put on that cosplay, you could show up and drop some knowledge to the fans about this movie.
Make it happen.
There's so many knowledgeable people out there that watch the show. I learn new stuff about these movies all the time. So crazy.
Have you read Cary Elwes's book about it?
I have not. I should read. I would love to read that. I've actually done a con with him, and he's so nice.
He's very so nice. Guy. We did a book club with him, and he signed the copy, and I had to have a cry in the green room afterwards. Yeah, so good. Because he's the kind of guy who would be like, "Maud, oh, that's such a great question, Maud. Thank you so much for asking it." And you're like, "That's okay." Oh, dear. Thank you again, though. We'll wrap things up here. 30 minutes time if you're watching this live. Make sure you're heading over to the Honor Society as well and give that one a follow. Dante, again, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you guys so much. I miss you guys. Hope to see you guys in real life sometime soon.
Maybe yeah, someday. Maybe someday. Thank you.
Love. Thank you so much.
All right. Bye. Bye.